Fred Film Radio, Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland.
Hi, I'm Irina Trokan from the 70th Locarno International Film Festival. I'm here with Siobhan Mizrahi, director of Distant Constellations, shown in the section Cinasti del Presente. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So the first question is, what is your film about?
The film is looking at stream of consciousness memories of a small group of people in a home in Istanbul, and those memories are contrasted with the changing landscape of the city outside their window.
Did you use a framing device from the beginning to see how the construction site progresses in parallel to what happens to the characters?
Exactly, yeah. The film emerged from this tension between the inside and outside, and that idea was very clear from the very beginning. It was unclear how to show that visually, and it took many years to explore how to do so, but it kind of took shape in a very natural way on its own terms through experimentation and shooting.
How did you decide who to follow in your film? Were there subjects who ended up not being there in the final cut?
These were my closest friends there and the people that I would speak to whether I was there to film or not. So it came from the relationship and not with any objective on my side beforehand about looking for a certain kind of person with a certain kind of story.
And there's a character who's reading a memory of his youth, right?
Yes, and what I really enjoy that scene. I mean, I can watch it over and over, and what I like so much about it is that when he remembers it, it's like he's living it again. You see him, the sensations and the feelings and the touches and his arousal, you know. It gets me also excited and remembering him and his kind of vivacity, yeah.
How much did you use of the total footage? Because watching the film, it seemed like you shot a lot more than you used in the final cut.
It wasn't so, actually. In the beginning, with the main interviews, we were shooting about... I was shooting 1 to 2, and everything I shot, I used. And that was partly because I was mainly spending time with them and not filming, and it was clear when I wanted to, you know, like I just made a decision about when I wanted to film and how. But then we had a 42-minute cut, which we then wanted to expand to a feature, and that part of the process in the last year and a half, I shot a lot more footage, and so the ratio changed. But at that point, all the main people had died, so yeah, it was a different. I had to really think of ideas of how it would be possible to lengthen the movie and still preserve what I had.
It was really sad because at the end credits you dedicated to their memory, and
yeah,
it's pretty clear that something had happened from the beginning of the shoot.
Yeah, that was actually my co-editor Shelley, that was her insistence to put that in. I didn't want to include any names or anything because we were resisting using name tags, or we wanted to work with really the universal qualities of the story without going into too many details. It makes sense to me now, as whenever I see it now, it also moves me very much, and it reminds me, once everyone passed away, suddenly that footage became so much more valuable because it was something that was just gone forever, and so I looked at the scenes in a new way. They had a new resonance to me.
And did you have hard set rules of what you will show about the home and the people in it?
I think the film has its own rules, and we partly made them, but also as you build the film, it has rules that you can't violate, but some rules can be expanded, and I think it's specific to the project, and this sort of just is how things felt balanced. And as I said in the Q&A, the issue of balance, the movie is very, there's a very fine balance here, rhythmically and sonically, and so we were trying to really very much to maintain that. And I think the montages, the panning, the tilts, my presence adds a touch of levity and maybe imposed meaning that makes the experience accessible and more open to a viewer and inviting. Each fact that you learn, whether it's a photograph from their past with the photographer, you see him as a young man. But we were very sparing with that and very wanted to make the film as present tense as possible.
I noticed that you have a really long end credits sequence, including unusually many film critics' names that I happen to recognize.
Our special thanks, that's a good point. It's incredibly long because many, many people helped in tangential ways to make this happen, and we couldn't have made it. I mean, our core crew, it was me alone shooting and doing sound, and then that grew to Denise Buga, the producer, and Shelley Grissom, and we began editing together, and so it was the three of us, but many people participated in all sorts of ways, whether it was giving us a recommendation of where to find a camera when our camera broke or what have you. So we wanted to be sure to include them.
How long did it last from when you began working on the project?
I first went there in 2009, and then I started shooting in 2011. And so the shooting went from... It wasn't constant because I was only there once a year, but it went from 2011 till 2016, basically. So, but on and off.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Irina Trocan from Fred Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.